for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 27th, 2000. Memorial Weekend, Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the speaker of the evening.
Dear God, as we gather here this evening in the name of Jesus, we pray, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of you be poured out here. Open our hearts, Lord, and prepare to receive the engrafted word which is able to deliver our souls. Father, we ask, Father, that thou would fill this place with angels, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And as the spirits leave us, Father God, Lord God, as we cast them out in Jesus' name, that the angels would take them to where you receive them, Lord Jesus, to dispose of them. Now, Lord, we pray, God, that you would give us an understanding of your word and direct us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what, all that word coming out like that, I don't have anything really all that prepared. Because Brother Glenn has just about stepped on everything I had. Let me say, some of the older saints down in Texas area, I called tonight to Texas to get the lyrics to the song. And I spoke with Bill, and he said he had never heard of it. But we sung some soldier songs. Okay, now I'm a deliverance worker, and I believe that we all should have an attitude of fighting the enemy.
Amen.
All right, now, so if you're not a fighter, I hope at the completion of this text, this message tonight, that you at least want to fight.
Amen.
Because if you don't fight, I guarantee you're going to be beaten. We must fight the enemy. The old saints down in Beaumont say something like this: I am a soldier in the army. We got to fight. I know we got to fight. We got to hold the blood-stained banner. We got to hold it up until we die. So I guess you can see I'm not a singer. But maybe I can kind of impress something in your spirit, man, if the Lord permit, that this is serious business. You've come here from all over the country, maybe some from all over the world. We need to stay focused. There are so many different concepts and so many different ideas. I mean, you know, there's so many different ways that the enemy is trying to rob us of the ministry of deliverance.
Right.
There is such an intellectual perspective of deliverance. There's a perspective that you don't need to get the demons out. They'll just leave. I've seen so many things. I've studied so much. I've worked with so many cases. I've worked with everything from people in the occult group having babies and eating the babies, drinking the blood, to an ingrown toenail. Over the years, we've seen it all. But I can assure you one thing. They don't move, as Glenn said, unless it's written. You must cast them out. I'll tell you what, the ones that are not casting out is the ones that's doing all the complaining. And I'm going to tell you something. The devil is the greatest hypocrite there is.
Yes.
He is the hypocrite. And he's a counterfeit of the truth. And what he will do, he will let you go ahead and play some intellectual perspective with him, call yourself using some of the scriptures and a lot of mine, and he'll trade out a tobacco problem, but he'll get you with cancer of the throat about 50 years from now. He'll let you go and get rid of the migraine headache, okay, but he'll grab your legs in about 10 years. So we can't trade. We have to make sure that we're coming from the Word.
Yes.
Our experiences must come from the Word. They should line up with the Word.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. We ought to have an attitude that we want to take the fight to the enemy. I like that. Bill came to Beaumont. First, I came here some years ago, and I learned that song. See, I don't have a background in the knowledge of the Lord. I wasn't saved, you know. That sounded like you. Well, most of you hadn't had a background like myself, you know. I was born in the Catholic faith, somewhere around 8 or 9, then I was Methodized. And then at 13, I was baptized. Snap, crackle, pop, you know, the whole trip. And when I went into the military, I spent some time where I knew Farrakhan when he was just a lieutenant. Then I came out and I spoke at my pastor's anniversaries. I was on the chairman of the youth department. I paid tithes. I drove the church bus. I was a junior deacon, and I did all that, and I wasn't even saved. So you know what kind of attitude I got when I got saved. Less work. So if you're here today, and the spirit of passivity is challenging you, don't let it. I read a book by Jesse P. Lewis, I believe it was, some years ago, and I thought, we're going to have to get aggressive here. And that was me. I was sitting around the house just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I ain't going to do nothing. I was so full of rejection and fear. We got to come up with a better attitude than that. I see the Lord going through places, and I see him delivering folk, preaching the word, casting out devils, and I don't see him up there with goosebumps either. But I'm just saying, he was doing the work. Now, he was doing the work, but he wasn't drawing any attention to himself. Today, our ministries, and we have some wonderful ministry out there, but most of it is drawing attention to themselves.
Right.
So we don't want to do that. We're going to get enough attention anyway because we're going to get the results. Why? Because our captain is Jesus.
Amen.
And because our captain is Jesus, there are going to be some signs and wonders that are going to follow you. So you must humble yourself. You must humble yourself. I learned something about 10 years ago when God started giving us lots of signs and wonders in our ministry. I said, Lord, you've got to show me other people to know this. Thank God I was submitting to Pastor Dean. And y'all know our pastor, Brother Harlan. And he's been a great leader. I'm going to tell you something. He said some things that made it uncomfortable for me. I looked at him. I said, my God, if he knew me in the world, one of us would be dead. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to submit to authority, then you need to understand there's going to be some things that are going to be told to you. Thank you, Pastor. That's going to make you uncomfortable.
Right.
But the scriptures say, search out the scriptures and see if the things be taught you be true. You'll find it out.
Yes.
You'll find it out. I mean, I'm still learning myself. I don't have it all. I had a man come down from Florida, and he had a Ph.D., and he stood up before the people. He told me, he said, I got it all. And they ran up there and wanted him to pray for him. He told him, he said, I know it all. He said, he know it. I said, ooh, it's time to hit the road, buddy. Boom, out the door. Jesus gave us all a commission to do battle. Every one of us have a commission to do battle. So we're not asking you to come here. Just, you know, we want you to get some help because you need to help, get help. Then you need to become, over a period of time, helpers.
Amen.
Okay, and then at another point of time, you ought to be working with the workers.
Amen.
It should be a gradual increase.
Amen.
So if you are in the needing help stage, don't be a worker yet. Submit to authority. Okay, if you are helping, don't take the lead yet. The time will come. So we need to do everything in order. I've seen the demons so many times take the mind of an individual, and when they have drove many, many miles to come get help, and all of a sudden they want to work. And we also, as the elders here, sometimes we don't have time to sit around and get ministered to. I tell you what, I want to get help. This brother be Jew, he wants to be a Jew, you know. I mean, but anyway, that's just something between me and him. But anyway, Brother Bijou, he was ministering. He came back there and told me, I just went off. Boom, boy, tears just started flowing. I couldn't stop. I said, well, maybe I can make it to the door. Nobody catches it. I saw Brother Noel back there. And they was just flowing. And when I got to the room, everything dried up. I said, my God, I should have stayed in there. So sometimes we run out too quick, you know. The anointing was moving so good, and I just thank God for it. And, you know, God has been faithful. He wants to work with us. To the faithful, he appears faithful. But to the unfaithful, he appears faithful. You sit around there saying, well, I'm not getting free. Well, I tell you what, you take an attitude that you want to help somebody, you're going to get helped.
Right.
That is the gospel. We must give.
Right.
You give of yourself, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to tell you something. If you give and they don't receive it, then the Bible says it's going to come back, pressed down, right back to you.
Right.
More than you can even imagine. But you must develop an attitude that, yes, I am coming to get help. But also, Lord, I'm coming to get help. I tell you what, Lord, I'm not going to bargain with you because that's not right. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to come here to get help, but I know that the whole purpose of the gospel is discipleship, so I'm coming here to get help, and when you help me, I'm going to help somebody else.
Right.
So maybe that hasn't crossed your mind. Maybe your problem, your desperation is so high right now, and your expectation is so low, you hadn't gave thought to asking God that as he blessed you, you're going to bless others. Maybe it never crossed your mind. I'm going to tell you something. I've dedicated my whole life to this work. And I tell you what, the Lord reminds me when I get off track. I'll never forget the morning he came into my room and he saved me. I never will forget that because I remember when it happened. I'm sure you all had the same experience. I said, I can't believe this. It's real. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was real that God was still in the business of saving. I had put him on the shelf and just pulled him down whenever I need him, you know, cross your heart, hope to die type thing, you know. And so when I found out he was real, I couldn't believe it. I had to figure out how I'm going to tell somebody. I remember when God showed me about healing, you know, because I don't take aspirin. I hadn't taken for, I guess, 8, 10, 12 years. I don't remember. I just stopped doing it all. And I drank Lone Juice, Colada Silver. I got a bunch of natural stuff. The natural group back there know about me. And anyway, when God showed me the revelation, we were in Galveston, Texas, my wife and I. We normally travel together. And hopefully she'll be with me here in December for the deliverance camp in October. But she was laying in the bed asleep, and I had just finished eating. And I was sitting up, and I developed this migraine headache. I mean, migraine headache. I mean, it was bad. And I remember sitting down, and I just started crying. I said, God, all these people have been coming to... We had a little building on Magnolia Street. I said, all these people have been coming to the building, getting help. They've been getting delivered from all kinds of spirits. And I got this headache, and I said, I got these stand back out there in the truck. I knew I had some stand back out there, because that was my grandma's remedy, stand back and X-Lax. Some of y'all remember that. And Castrol. So I always had stand back out there. I had them in the glove apartment. So I'm sitting down here. I'm in the deliver, you know. I got to be careful not to laugh at my own stuff here. But anyway, it's true. And so I'm sitting down here, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't want to take that. I've seen you heal too many people. I don't want to take that. And the Lord said, just lay your head back and rest and think about me. And I just did that. I rested. I thought about it. And he knocked me out. Boom. It seemed like I woke up within 5 seconds, just that quick, and the headache was gone. And I said, my God, went to my wife, she was asleep. I said, oh, my God, look what just happened here. So anyway, we got back, and Sunday morning, at that time, we didn't have a large fellowship, my son, and maybe one other lady that came. We had just started a work after leaving from another city. And I stood up before them, and I was going to teach on healing. And I didn't even know how to teach on healing. Because, you know, I was, you know, preaching healing. But anyway. So I'm still learning how to preach on healing. And basically, thank God, because I have some friends in Beaumont, men of God that are doctors, and relatives and everything. And so by no means am I speaking against the medical professions, you know, because God has been a great blessing there. But I'm saying that God wants to take us to a state right now where we can be totally dependent upon Him. And as He directs us into the paths of help from other people that He's placed in position of authority, then He's going to direct us there. For surely He has been a miraculous God in all places. Amen. And so what I challenge you today is that we have been given a very serious command from God. We must take back everything the enemy has stolen from us, stolen from our family, and that which he intends to steal from us. But it's not going to happen unless you develop an attitude to fight. You must get serious. Now, I play, we laugh and all that, but when we start taking on the enemy, we've got to get serious. This is a very, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be able to do any type of deliverance. In fact, you're going to do any ministry without love. Okay? Let me tell you something. The Pharisees walked around and they picked Jesus. Jesus, what you got on? Jesus, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you saying that? That ain't right, you know. I'm going to tell you something. You, if you can't take nothing, then you're not ready for this anyway, okay? Okay, so you need to understand that all that's going to live holy is going to suffer persecution. Okay, you're going to be attacked. Okay, Jesus spoke about the Pharisees attacking him. They say, he told him, go tell that fox that I'm going to cast out demons today. Tomorrow and the third day I shall be finished. You know, I mean, you know, just think about it. You know, the Lord thought enough about us to tell the people, to tell the Pharisees and to go tell Herod that he was concerned about us getting free. He thought enough about that. Now, if he thought enough about that, because he could have told him, go tell him I'm going to take up a large tax offering. We're going to buy this swamp that you don't want, Herod. We're going to feed all those people that you can't feed, Herod. No, he told me, he said, go tell him, the fox, I'm going to cast out demons. Okay, now that tells me something here. Number one, let's think about it. What do the foxes do? Now, any of you have had any experience with animals, you know that foxes fall the vine. Okay, and Jesus is our vine. I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be foxes that's going to come against you because you want to do the work of God. You're not better than Jesus. If foxes came against him, they're going to come against you. So don't help it out. Don't go all in front of... come out. Let me just put it like that. Come out as God sends you out and separates you out. Okay? You'll be much more rewarded to be found effective in doing the work of ministry. Find a place to submit to authority. Learn what God is teaching. There are people all over the country that understand what you know. Now, perhaps you're one of those here today that is not totally convinced that our methods of deliverance is accurate and correct. Well, okay. Well, we'll try to stick to the letter. Everything that we have received from the Lord, I believe we had to battle for it. Everything. Everything you've gotten, you have to fight for it. As we look at the Old Testament examples of Israel, we look at God sending Moses to bring his people out of bondage after 400 some odd years. God now is going to give his people instruction on how to accept and to receive the promise that he promised them.
Yes.
A land flowing with milk and honey. All of the houses already built. Garden's already ready. I mean, everything is all set.
Right.
But they don't know how to fight. Okay, but they're going to go conquer an enemy that's already got steel swords and they got wood. They're going to go fight. So God's got to give them something. He's got to equip them. He's going to teach us faith through this message. I want to go back to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, where glad we were, and look at Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. I hope that you have your Bibles with you. I don't know about you, but I can get real motivated when it comes to talking about casting out evil spirits.
Yes.
I think that that's the commission that God has given the whole church. Unquestionably. Oh, is it a gift?
Nah,
it's no gift. It's a work of ministry. It is a work of ministry. Let me tell you something else. I know that we have a diversity of gifts here. We got diversity of personalities and understandings here. And I realize that it is God's will for us to know the root cause of our demonic problems and those that you're going to be ministering to. I'll try to remember to talk to you as ministers as well as those that have needs. And I realize that that there are spiritual parallels. For the things that are happening in the natural may have a spiritual parallel. You may be having problems with your feet because it's your walk. You may be having problems with your kidneys because you're not allowing the flow of God's word to go flow because the kidneys wash out the old and let the new come through. You might be having problems with headaches because you were in a car accident and not submitting to authority or you got rebellion. Or you might be stiff-necked, rebellious in your neck, and that's the seat of your soul. I realize there's spiritual parallels. A lot of problems with your ankles because you ain't got no faith. You're not praying, so your knees hurt. Now, we're not going to get into a lot of details on spiritual parallels because there's really no absolute direction in that. But there's a lot to be learned, and I think as we go into the years to come, God may open up a lot of more information on the spiritual parallels and conditions in our physical body.
Yes.
But and I know a lot about that. We could spend a lot of time talking about that. But what we need to talk about, let's stay with the basics. Before you can get so high elevated into this degree of light on these parallels and all these things that are going on out there, and believe me, I've studied them for years, we ought to be able to, first of all, understand the very basics and the same truths that Jesus preached.
Yeah.
Some of us are growing in leaps and bounds, but we haven't done the very same work. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Gershonites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are born the face of the earth. Let me tell you something, people. Israel had a command to possess the Canaan land. They had tremendous responsibilities. God laid out the law, laid out the rules and the regulations for them to do so. I'm going to tell you something. I believe there's a spiritual parallel. I think that as Israel was to conquer the Canaan land, that we also need to conquer this spiritual Canaan land here. I believe this is the land that God has issued a command for us to take right now. I think that we should, as children of God, begin a search of the Scriptures and find out what God is revealing to us in these last days, as we use the Old Testament wars and battles as types. People, no different today that God has given a charge here to Israel. I believe God has given a charge to us.
Yes.
In Mark, the 16th chapter, Well, some may say the Great Commission, one of the commissions here, in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 15, it says, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Yes.
People, we have been given a command to cast out devils. Look at verse 18. It says, they shall take up serpents. You know what that really means? That means to take, to snatch, to grab, and to pull them out. Move the demons.
Yes.
That's the attitude you got to have. It's time out for that in the house walking around thinking maybe you got one in the roof, one in the bedroom. It's time out for that. Them days ought to be over with. You ought to take an attitude that you want to bring it to me, I'll bring it to you. My attitude already is to bring it to the enemy. But at the same time, I'm not going to laugh now. I don't raise up a real accusation against them, okay? This is serious business. Some people's very lives depend upon you doing deliverance and doing it diligently. There was a case of an individual, the demon picked him up, was about to throw him over a bridge, over the top of a roof. He didn't have time to go into intercession and pray in tongues. He better say, I bind you, put me down, devil, in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all had those experiences. I had a young man that was in a satanic cult. He jumped out of the chair. He come at me. He just come right up there. I placed a shield of faith between me, and he was like this, bopping, pow, 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 pow. It's just the grace of God, because I could have had lost a few teeth. Just the grace of God. We need to trust the Lord, but we also need to submit to authority and learn. This is what the camps are here for. This is why the middle of God's got these people here, so that we can learn different things.
Amen.
Okay? And so, tonight I want to talk about a little bit about, you know, our commission to battle. We got to fight. This is serious. If I don't say a whole lot because I don't have that educated background, well, that's okay. But that's all right. Don't worry about it. But the point I'm trying to make is that I think I can convey to you how serious I am and how serious you ought to be, how serious you are, and how serious we ought to be about taking the battle to the enemy.
Yes.
We cannot be complacent. We cannot be in compromise. We cannot take chances like that. We can't just go our life like we live in two lives. We can't go double-minded on this thing.
Right.
You're going to have to be focused.
Right.
You out there that are here for help, okay, you got to be thinking about helping others. You got to be thinking about that. Each measure of your deliverance, you got to be thinking about how I'm going to retain this knowledge. So whenever God sends me a person with this identical problem, I'm going to be there to set them free in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Whoo, you working in line with the Spirit now. You working in line with the Holy Ghost. You working in line with God. I'm telling you, this is what God wants out of us, not just a quick fix. Hey, this is not a cash register. We're not here to slam your clothes. Okay, we want you to understand that we are developing disciples. We're not trying to tell you how to run your business. None of us is volunteering to go to your assemblies or where you are and the like. That's not the point. If you'll just take this basic nugget to add to your gifts of prophecy, to add to your teaching on faith, to help you in your prayer lines and your intercession and all the rest that God's given you, all we're asking you is that would you consider adding deliverance to your full gospel message?
Yes.
Would you have an open mind about that? Just have an open mind that maybe you could learn a little bit more. Back to Deuteronomy. I should have told you to stay there, huh? I'm going to tell you something. When you're doing deliverance, Deuteronomy 7, when you start doing deliverance, something happens to the people. It kind of electrifies the crowd. What happens when it electrifies the crowd, everybody wants to get involved. Oh, yeah, we come up here, we start praying, Brother Noah, we just start casting out devils. Everybody says, oh, boy, I'm ready to get involved. And even the people that's coming here to get help, they want to get involved. That's what we want you to feel. We want you to work in agreement with us.
Amen.
We want you to work. It's a believer's ministry. Deliverance isn't, as Brother Dean told me one time, somebody asked him because they had went to a deliverance workshop. A deliverance worker went to their church and preached, and the pastor and all the people were saying, boy, when those deliverance workers come through, just like for a whole 6 or 7 weeks afterwards, everybody in there want to pray, and cast out devils. Whoo! What it ought to be, it is a believer's ministry. It is very simple. It will not affect your current ministries. In fact, it will help them.
Yes.
It will help your ministry. We are not here to rob you of anything, but to give you something.
Amen.
This thing works.
Amen.
It works. Here in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, again, verse 20, The scripture says, moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee to be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put on those nations before thee, put out those nations before thee little by little. Thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Just a couple of things I want to share with you here. God is explaining to his people that they're going to have the promised land. But he's also giving them instructions how to survive in the promised land, how to receive the benefits of his blessings in the promised land. Now, God is going to do the fighting for his people. He's showing them that if you'll be with me, I'll be for you. Okay, so now he sends something unusual here to discomfit the enemy. He sends hornets. Now, I'm going to give you, for you experienced workers, I'm going to kind of share a little something with you. From time to time in ministry, on an unusual manifestation, we don't use things as a routine around here. We try to listen to the Holy Spirit. But for an unusual manifestation, I have used what is written in the scriptures, I think, in four times. It talks about God sending insects out to cripple the enemy so Israel could kill them. Okay? I don't know about you, but I know a couple of lost things, and I'm down on the ground. So God had this unique way of clearing the land, you know. But we have in the past working with individuals when spirits are manifesting and they just want to talk. Maybe I send ask God for permission. Mind you, some of us need to maybe think about how our ministries are. Are we demanding God? I've seen a lot of ministries that develop out of people saying, God, I ain't going to do nothing unless you impress me. You better watch those rebellious ministries. They'd be so close to truth, but they're missing it. God, with your permission, I'd like to send hornets at this tongue of this individual that's just steady cussing. And you'll see that demon. So anyway, that's just for the experienced minister. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but the hornets still can be used. So we have used the hornets, not routinely. Also, the Lord said that he would allow that land to be cleansed little by little so that the beasts of land would overcome them, okay? But think about this. The Lord will engineer a process of deliverance in you little by little as you are able to receive it.
Right.
He will give you as much light as you are able to handle. So let's just be patient. Let's enjoy the ride. Remember, for some of you that have waited a little longer than others to get your freedom, remember, God is using every second of your ministry, every second of your devotion to him, your worship to him. He's using it to build your ministry for him. And if you can see it that way, you can go through this thing easier and maybe even faster. But you got to see more than helps. You got to see you're going to be helpers.
Amen.
You have been commissioned to the battle. It's a war. And I commend every one of you. I see some people in here that we've worked with today and others that have been getting help and others that have been helping. I'm going to tell you something. There's no shame in this thing. Trying to get help from God. As Brother Noel said earlier, you have to lose your dignity. And I've seen some people here that have been letting them go. I want you to know I've been there. I've had them come out of me, just whatever. I look forward to a deliverance whenever I can get one. I look forward to it. I remember Sister Coffee teaching on the beast about 2 years ago, and she was standing up there teaching, so she said, okay, I'm going to get them out now. So I jumped up there, and I got my tissues like Brother Noel. I'm going to walk around and help. And she said, you beast, come out there. Something grabbed me in the stomach. It did something like this. And I looked at her and I say, I said, you even got the nerve to manifest. I mean, he could have just belched. You know, could have went. And I was on back to work. Get some tissue over here, you know. But it actually manifested. I said, oh. And I said, well, I better not let everybody know what's going on because I'm going to have to help somebody in a minute. But God wants you to get to a point where when the manifestations come, you can say, uh-huh.
Yeah.
See, when they manifest, it's because they can't hide. That's a good thing.
Right.
So don't you feel embarrassed. That's a good thing. There are people here right now who can't even get manifestations. They hurting. They want it. I'm trying to get them there right now. With the Lord's help, we're trying to get you there. So it's a good thing. Oh, I've been there. I've been up there before. Years back, I've been up there. I was too busy talking, so I'm going to swallow it back down. And the Lord showed me the demon got x-rayed. That demon saw it and went right back down. I was hurt for about a week trying to repent. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. I'll never swallow again. If it happened again, I'll grab the tissue. Oh, I've been there. I know how it is. I know how it is out there. I'm trying to hold yourself. You know you got gas. But I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. Hey, this is what Saturday Night Live is all about. We're going to lay it out there. That's what we want to do. We want to lay it out there. So you got seven openings in your body, and they're going to come out through one of seven. The words breath, demon, spirit, and saint. And I tell you what, I heard some loud ones. In our church, we got spray all over, Ben, don't we? We got spray all over the place. Spray, garbage cans, and tissues. And everything at least 2 years old can come up there and say, come out! We don't mind. You say, it might hurt my son. I got a boy, he's doing good. He's an athlete. He's doing good in school. He's about 13 or 14 years old. At 2 years old, he stood up there and looked at his mama. I prayed for him. Me and my wife prayed for his mama for days after days. And one day he looked at me and he walked up and I said, go ahead, Travis. He said, come on, mama. Oh, boy, she liked to hit the wall. Boom! I don't know. They got unwavering faith. I'm not saying you're just supposed to go out there and make them, but God made that happen. Okay, and he was comfortable with it, running behind Brother Jim. So I didn't make him a worker, okay? So, you know, and I hadn't pushed anything on him. As he's growing up now, he's enjoying his school. He knows about God. He loves God. So I'm not pushing him to the battle. So, people, let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 1. God wants us to be perfected. He wants to do a perfected work to us. In 2 Corinthians 7, chapter, verse 1, he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. People, we are to be perfected through a process called deliverance. God wants to deliver us. However, it's going to require that we seek Him. We're going to have to search the Scriptures. We're going to have to find out what God is trying to reveal to us about our conditions. We're going to have an attitude of thanksgiving and not blame. An attitude of thanksgiving and not, as Brother Noah was teaching in our 1:30 meeting, bitterness. Holding God responsible for our conditions. There's people here right now that's blaming God. We're going to have to realize it's the enemy that has done this. The reason why you're even here today and the reason why you're alive today is because God's saving grace is trying to bring you to His presence. It's going to require that you forgive. Forgiveness is absolutely essential to deliverance. You won't get any deliverance because it's going to be like E.F. Okay, because God can't hear anything. Y'all know the commercial, E.F. Hutton? Okay, all right. When E.F. Hutton speaks?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is how it is. If you forgive not me in their trespasses, your heavenly Father needeth forgive you yours. In other words, He ain't talking to you. It's another spirit. It's deception. So God wants us to have discernment. He said, well, God's given me the gift of discernment. Okay, well, I don't understand how you can have a gift of discernment. First of all, I've been fighting with mine for about 10 years trying to learn how to walk in it. And probably another 40 years from now, I'll know a little bit more about it. Okay, but I'm going to tell you something. Discernment and not no knowledge to cast out devils is a dangerous gift. Because it can show you, all right, that somebody might be talking about you so you can protect yourself. It can show you that somebody is trying to get your money out the bank. Oh, it can show you that old brother wants your car. But the Bible tells me the gift is for the body. It's supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to be ministered in love. That sounds like a big symbol to me over there. I can see if somebody, if I was at home and somebody was trying to run in there with a knife, I know what's on his mind. If somebody pulled me over in the car and put a gun there, I know what's on their mind. I don't need no discernment for that. You say you got discernment, huh? Yeah, you got discernment, all right. You got discernment. Yeah, we can use a lot of that in Vietnam. But I'm going to tell you something. God wants us to have discernment, okay? And discernment is to help so we can get delivered, so we can deliver other people. Well, somebody knows what I'm talking about. Proverbs, the 25th chapter. I'm trying to move along and try to stick to the text. But I'm going to tell you something. I really meant what I said about submitting to Brother Glenn. If he would have preached, that would have been fine with me. And I'd been out here tomorrow. And I'll preach tomorrow or whatever. Because y'all don't understand what a great privilege it is for me to even be in the fellowship of these fine men and women of God from all over the world. And I'll tell you this, that I love all of y'all. And I tell you that I mean that from my heart.
Yes.
And I mean nothing but good for every one of you. I won't even say anything that I think, if unless, you know, Lord just say you need to say this, say that, but what he tells me, that he's not going to be telling me in most cases that's going to hurt or offend anybody. Okay, so that's a wrestle, and that's a wrestle in my members also, too. You think we just come up here and just put on a show? No. No, it's a war. Because we know every time the word comes, it's going to sin, it's going to draw. And I'm into the drawing business. I'm not into the sinning business, but that's the Father's work. Let the Father do his work like he wants to. In Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 2, let me show you an interesting scripture here. Proverbs 25th, 2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter." Some time ago, God revealed this to me, that it is the glory of God for him, for his children to search out a matter. Some of you are not spending enough time searching out your matters. We just want to get prayer. You need to get into this word. You need to spend time, and I probably bought, I don't know how many $100 worth of books, and I just give them away to people so they can be helped. When the Lord reveals the nature and the character of an evil spirit working inside of us, he intends for us to search out the matter. He is glorified by that, to see you searching. Oh, yeah, Lord. Ooh, there goes headache. There goes weak knees. He loves that. He is glorified when you search out the matters. Yeah. People, we must continually be repentful before God. We must have a repentful attitude. And we should be consistent with that type of attitude. And we should always be ready to say, go to the enemy.
Yeah.
Go. Casting out evil spirits. We have no room for passivity. You must be aggressive. If I don't say anything here tonight, I want to leave you with, let's be aggressive. Let's go. You have a commission to do warfare. Do your business. Do what God has called us to do. Now, it is God's pleasure that we search out a matter.
Yes.
Search it out. Search the scriptures. In him you shall find life. In here you shall find life. Search him, people. We must search it.
Amen.
A lot of you come, I talk to you, and I know I talk a lot of parallels, because I want you to be able to see you can find it in the scriptures. We could do a whole lot right now to poke and shove and to make the demons uncomfortable in us, so when the workers minister to you, boom, they go. They go. So search it out. Whatever the situation is, ask some of these elders. Say, I have a problem with it. Can you help me with some scriptures? Okay, well, let's find some. Take these home, and if you got any other problems, give us a call. Now we're working together instead of I'm working. Let's work together. Let's find it out. Put us on the spot. Put us on the spot. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let's look at that.
Hallelujah.
God is faithful, people.
Yes,
1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 21. The scripture says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." People, we cannot truly expect the Lord to strengthen us and to build us and to enlighten us while we're eating his bread from his table, and at the same time we're eating the bread from the devil's table. Let me tell you something. That's double-mindedness. Okay? That's second masters. Okay? God is not going to play that with us. Okay? You can't do that. You say, well, I'm still getting a relationship, and I'm getting experiences from God. Well, that's a lot of spirits out there. But not everything is the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us there's another Jesus.
Yes.
There's another gospel.
Uh-huh.
That lets me know that, you know, we have to be watchful and prayerful in our walk. We need to line up perfectly with the scriptures. So God doesn't want us to have second masters. So you can't be eating out of his word at his table and also eating out of the world of New Age, crystals, Chinese balls, trying to get rid of headaches, and a lot of other junk that's out there. It's a lot of junk out there, people. I'm going to tell you something. We've heard it said three times, I think, this weekend, and I said it when I first came, that you might be at peace with your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good, pretty good question. But is it really your enemy if you're at peace with him? Okay? Perhaps it's your friend. You ever give it much thought? Many have enemies, but they allow them to entertain them. Now, enemies can be a number of things. Anything from our relationship with tobacco, sexual sins, our attitudes, perversions. Religion?
Yes.
And that's just to name a few. I heard so many things, but I'm going to tell you something. One time I had a spirit manifest in a young lady, and it was a witchcraft spirit, and the spirit said, "Leave me in here. I'm not going to interfere with her life. I've had him say everything from, I'm going, I'm going, I'm going, ain't left. I've had him say, I'll get him saved. If you just leave me in here. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you, so if you're playing mind games out there, you're offering some hocus-pocus type deliverance, and you think because your techniques, because you use what you think to be in the scriptures, and you say the demons are going, I'm going to tell you something. Scripture says they come out by the word. Okay? Some of us need to understand the operation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to know the operation. If you would search the scriptures, God will reveal to you these truths. Because I know we have a diverse backgrounds in here today. But I'm going to tell you, God is for us. In Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 19, the Bible says, Behold, I've given to you power. You got it. Power. He's given you power. Power to do what? That's right. It's right over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any harm shall hurt or harm you.
That's right.
You've been given that power. That ought to be a scripture you commend to memory.
That's right.
Do you know that you've been given that power? You say, well, Brother Jim, okay, I believe that, but right now I'm not walking in that authority. That's okay. You're submitting to authority, and you shall be in authority.
That's
the hour is coming that God shall use you. But right now you may be those that are being helped. But God's going to use you.
Amen.
You have a calling, people. This is serious business. I take this business very serious. I do not play when it comes to seeing God's people. I love y'all. Y'all minister to y'all. I hug you. I let you know I love you. I enjoy being with you. I really enjoy that. Okay, I think it's very important that we minister in the gifts. We minister the ministry of deliverance through love.
Amen.
Through love.
Amen.
So don't get so cocky because you know how you can get a demon out. And we become pharisaical about it. Oh, that's easy. Just go, go, go. I'm telling you, people, this is serious business. You know, God gave a commission. He gave a commission to the disciples here in the ninth chapter of Luke, verse 1. The scripture says, Then he called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority, dunamis and exousia, over all demons, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Well, some of us might have a problem with right now, knowing that the Lord's giving you a commission to cast out devils and heal the sick. I'm sure you wouldn't want to introduce yourself like that, but I'm going to tell you something. We've all been given this commission.
Yes.
If you're a baptized believer into Christ, you've been given this commission. Well, let me ask you a question here. Did you know that you don't pray a demon out?
Come on now.
A demon ain't going to go anywhere because you sit up there, oh, Father, great. I love you. Lord, brother, be you. No, you got to say, come out. That demon got a name or it's got a nature.
That's it.
Okay, and that nature is his name anyway. So whatever he's doing is good enough. But you got to get him. And you got to go after him. And you got to have an attitude to go after. You can't be sitting back here. One time, I don't want to say that because I ain't going to say that. I don't want to say too much, but I'm going to say this much. We were doing a tent one night, and I put the tent up in the worst area of town. I mean, the greatest place for salvation. Prostitutes, pimps, drugs. After we picked up the tent, the next day, two of the people that did drugs on the street, one was killed in a car accident and all that. And a lady came into the tent, and she was so filthy drunk. And one of the young ladies who had just came to our assembly, she had the lady up there singing on the mic. And I said, well, no, I set it down real nice, you know, smile. Y'all know how to do things. Set them real nice down like that. And the lady woke up there and get that mic again. I said, oh, look what Sister Trina just started here. So I set the lady down again before she decided she was going to tear up. She knocked over all the seats on the right side before we can get authority. And by the time she got out, she got a stick, and she broke the stick, and she came at me like that, and I stood up like that. And the first time she swung at me, she got too close. And I turned around, my brother back there, you know I'm fine, I ain't gonna say it. I turned around, I said, who back there scared? I am, it's me. I said, go on, get out the way for a minute. So then I went out there, she came back, and she swung at me, it was dark. You couldn't see it. She broke the stick, and she swung all around me. I can kill this. Let me tell you something. You can't kill a dead man. If the demon know you already dead and alive in Christ, you ain't got nothing to worry about it. But if you want to hold on to this, that's what Satan loved. He saw it in the garden. He loved his flesh. So if you're alive, you're already dead. And you can't fight the devil in the flesh.
That's right.
You can't get physical. I let him know, I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. My weapons are not carnal. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. Now, I heard Dr. Lowe earlier say, I bind him down to the seat. I bind the strong man, the spirit of strength that caused all that manifestation. Now, if God wants manifestation, I think they're perfectly in order. I don't have a problem with manifestation. Because sometimes it's good for the people to see. And I think that's necessary. Okay, but the point I'm trying to make here is that when God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper, he means that. Oh, incidentally, if I'd have left and been with the Lord, I'd just been another brother that went to be with the Lord. So you can't love your life. And nothing happened. Nothing happened. And that's not the first. That's many, many times such a thing has happened like that. So you don't have any reason to be fearful of demons. If you're a little fearful right now, just stay close to that worker you're working with. Watch them work. Pray and trust the Lord. Get involved in the ministry. But if you're a little scared right now, say, well, I'm just not ready yet. Just let me stay here with you and agree in prayer. That person will appreciate that because they don't need nobody. We had a guy one time that was had anger spirits. And the person put their leg right next to him, and that person got angry. And I said, move that leg. You know, I'm going to tell you, there's all kinds of things happening. So if you have not been authorized by Brother Miller or Doc or one of the elders to help out in the ministry, then don't do it. Because God is using discernment. He's revealing things. Now, things are going on in the spirit realm. People manifest and walking around here like this. Mm-hmm. And you say, hi, Bill.
Hey.
Hi, how are you? You say, well, Bill looks like he just needed to sleep. Bill manifested. If you ask Bill who Bill will, Bill might say, I'm Beelzebub. Who you think this is? So there's stuff going on in here. We try to help people. We ain't trying to embarrass nobody. We just take them quietly and get them free. See, God's in the business of getting his people free, people. He wants to get us free. People, don't close your eyes. When you're ministering to an individual, don't close your eyes.
Right.
Oh, and also, don't push. That devil can feel that weight. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Just find in Psalms, I think, 146, 1. It's gentle touch.
Yeah.
You don't need to push the enemy. He can see that. This is like X-ray vision. Some of y'all have seen some of them Steven Spielberg movies. Watch that junk. Have nightmares and talk about you getting prophecy. But anyway, we know what's going on out there. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to do that. And you need to keep your eyes open. For some reason, we get to start praying for somebody. Everybody want to go like this. And I've seen demons look around like that. One time I had one laying on the floor, and the demon rolled it out up there, and the pastor walked through it and said, it's the Holy Ghost.
Oh, my.
It didn't bother me. I don't get upset. You can't be getting upset because you ain't ready to be used. I said, oh, it's mellow. And the demon rolled up, looked at eyes like that. That's what they were saying. They just rolled their eyes at me, let me know I got this thing in control.
Yeah.
So you got to watch what you think the Holy Ghost is doing.
Yeah.
Okay? Because God's called us to do a work. God's called us to do work. Okay, and you don't need to make the sign of the cross. You get some oil. Go on ahead and make the sign. The cross was a cursed thing. We can do some time. I taught on the cross a few weeks ago. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible makes it clear we ought to be bearing a cross, not wearing it. So don't put no cross on my head. You got a fetish for crosses? Go and wash it. They got a bunch of them out there. The Veteran Memorial.
Yes, they do.
If you got a fetish for crosses, you know, I mean, we can find you a few. Also, please, I did it. My wife did it. Me and Alberta had a lot of experience. I want y'all to meet. Some of y'all haven't met my wife. We've had them do it. Seven drops of dress oil, said the Lord.
Come on, brother. Hallelujah.
And then we wrestled down the emergency room the next night because they got diarrhea. But anyway. Also, when you're ministering to them, don't sit directly in front of them. Do you understand you are challenging those spirits? You're sitting right in front of old Bob, and Bob is manifesting. And you say, Brother Jim, I'm doing everything I can. Just get out the way. You get out the way. Bob, oh, thank you, Jesus. That demon wanted to get out of there so quick. So get on the side of the people. And I usually gently place my hand on the men, on the stomach right here, when females are present. Or when they're working up here, I'll pray, sometimes put my hand on their forehead. But gently on their stomach, because out of your belly should be rivers of living water. And I think the demons really do a lot of work from here. And, you know, all of us maybe have some different views on things like that, and we're still searching the scriptures on that. But I can be sure that the enemy is attacking a lot of our bowels. And we know we are supposed to be compassionate souls that love the Lord. So I don't know about you, but I used to have a problem with that. Some lady back there knows she's a doctor or something. Ganglion nerve, what do you call that?
Ganglion
nerve. I've been there. Know all about it. Wrestled with that bad boy. Threw me on the ground. I'm going to tell you, you can be delivered. It's going to take some time. Some things go quick. Some things take a little while, people. All right. Make the individual look at you. Not meanly, but ask them to look at you. Because there are many manifestations that will manifest many times when you're praying for people. See, you've been issuing the charge to do work. Y'all here to get help. I know, but some of y'all want to go. Y'all gonna go back and go to work. So I'm just giving you some basic things because not everybody's gonna do it the same way, and that's okay. But these are some basic things, and there are many more that we won't even talk about. Okay, but the basic things are very necessary right now to get you foundationalized to understand what the Lord is telling us to do. Have a team, if possible. Okay? I've had to work along a few times. It was very difficult for me. Very tiring. I spent many, many hours in a little place we had on city downtown Beaumont working with individuals. I spent many, many hours away from my family. Many, many hours from my family. But I'm going to tell you something. It is more effective to work in twos if possible. Okay, so if one gets weak, the other one to strengthen them. Y'all know what the scripture says.
Amen.
Okay, and then switch around if necessary. But never do this. Me and Brother Bijo casting out demons here out of this individual over here. And I'm saying, come out, rebellion. He's coming. He's saying, come out, witchcraft.
Yeah.
I'm saying, come out, come out something, cancer. And he's saying, come out, tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he does it, and y'all brothers in the Lord, you know that, just roll behind him. I'm saying, come out, cancer, and he's discerning the rebellion that's keeping his end, right? And he said rebellion, and I roll behind, yeah, rebellion, come out, let the devil see you get on water court. Let him see you. Don't cop no attitude. Don't cop no attitude. Oh, but brother, you ain't supposed to do that. We out of order. No, just roll with him. That devil will see y'all work together. I'm telling you, the demons will come out so quick because they can see unity. They want to see unity. They don't want to see unity, but they go see unity. So you can switch. And I do a lot of switching because sometimes when we have a ministry and so many people get in ministry, I'm walking around, I'm monitoring the situation. I'm just monitoring the situation. See who needs help. And we just place some workers around the room as necessary. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 28, the Lord gives us a word here. He said, but if I cast out devils, Matthew 12:28, by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. I'm a firm believer that the casting out of evil spirits is a demonstration of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I'm a firm believer of that.
Amen.
And I believe it is a ministry of God that he wants us to do. I'm going to tell you something. God's also going to give you enough victories in this thing. He's going to keep you going. But it's going to be some defeat. You're going to have to lay out before God. God, what should I do? He's going to teach us things over the years. We're just beginning. Don't you understand that God is able to complete the work that he's begun in us?
Right.
There's much work to be done for the kingdom. Much work to prepare us for sonship. There's much work left before us. Mark the 9th chapter. I'm going to try to move a little faster here. In Mark the 9th chapter, verse 38 through 40. You just get the tape if I'm going too fast. Believe me, I'm just kind of loose here, letting the Holy Spirit tell me which ones to pick out of my notes here. In Mark the 9th chapter, verse 38, the scripture says, and John answered Jesus, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbid him because he followed not us. You ever had those little cliques where they wasn't in y'all cliques so they couldn't work with y'all? Or you've been around cliques. More appropriately, you've been into cliques where they wouldn't let you work. Okay. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Casting out demons is a miracle. I tell you what, you get a spirit, a congenital birth defect out of an individual's hand, or some other sickness in their bodies out, I guarantee you that's a miracle. I guarantee you they say it's a miracle. For he that is not against us is on our part. People, if, on the other hand, people are using techniques that are not scriptural, then you need to dismiss yourself.
Amen.
You may, as the Lord give you direction, and you have the word for them, you may instruct them on what they're doing wrong. But generally speaking, what I've done in the past, if they were doing something that was ungodly, I just dismissed myself. They were in an error. And I would just happen to be there for a prayer meeting. But I can tolerate anybody doing any kind of deliverance to any degree, and I will work with them and agree. They don't have to know what I know, and I don't have to know all they know, and they can be using whatever techniques, but it's scriptural. They may be hollering a little louder than I would holler, putting a little bit more oil on their hands than I would use. They may be going at the surface, but I can sit over in the background going at the root with them, but I'm going to stay in alignment with them. Okay, I'm not going to speak against them. Okay, so I can work with anybody, any degree, and I think we should all be able to do that. So don't get offended because you've got a better way. because you could get them out quicker. Because you done cut it down now to a science. Don't do that. That's God's people. They learning too. Okay, so it may take some time to generate a relationship where you may be able to bring them to a greater degree of light. I work with a lot of groups, Methodists, Baptists. The Catholics even called me in, but I didn't want to play Benny Hinn. Now, don't disrespect none. But I'm saying it because it's just being funny. Nothing bad. Next month I got a big conference with the Church of God in Christ. Okay, and so how can they let a deliverance work in all these places? Why? Because I don't go in there trying to hurt nobody. And I don't cut those scriptures either. I don't cut out. But I think they generally see Christ. I think they generally feel the love of God. In my preparation, I think sometimes they might say, he's out of his mind. He's crazy. But whatever it is, he's believing. And he gets results because God always gives me something to go after. You know, headaches and neck, bad backs or something. They come up and I grew out the arms, the leg, all that kind of stuff like that, which is simple stuff to do if you're following the Lord. And people get healed. It's kind of hard to kick against that which God is doing. I'm going to tell you something. The man that's had a miracle done by God is not the mercy of another man's doctrine. So there goes the Methodist doctrine. There goes the Baptist. No, nothing against Methodist Baptist, because like I say, I am in fellowship with all these people. But I am saying that if you'll see and understand the operation of God's Spirit, and God doesn't work for you or any other individual, from that point on, they're not at the mercy of another man's doctrine. They see Jesus as the miracle worker now. And if the preacher sit up there saying it ain't true, tongues of the devil, I don't know. Well, I guarantee it won't last long. People, there's two types of groups basically out there that's opposing us the most. And that's the ones that know it all and the ones that do it all. Well, basically, and I got a lot of friends I'm working with in the Church of Christ, and they know it all. But I'm trying to get them to see. But you know what? Who shows? The Holy Spirit. But thank God they have a loving relationship with me. I have a lot of friends in the Church of Christ. And they don't have to agree with me, but they can't argue with me because you know why? Because we got Word.
Amen.
And I'll tell you what, if you spend your time searching this scripture here, I'll tell you what, you won't have to worry about backing down to anybody. And you don't have to get upset because they may have a different doctrine of view. You can just be very pleasurable. I'm going to tell you something. You need to be able to give an answer with a question. When they confronted Jesus, didn't he have a question? You need to find out what the Lord going to ask you to ask them so they can listen. Let me tell you something else. Then I got other friends out there. I mean, they shandai, hallelujah, baptized in the name of Jesus. They know it all. I'm going to tell you something. They get more prophecy than we get, too. You know that?
Oh, yeah,
because God's trying to tell them something. And I believe that. I believe God's trying to tell them, hearken to me, my people. Humble yourself. He's trying to tell them. I was in there. I was part of that group. No mustache, no hair. A little boy walked up to him. I had a little bit one here one day. He said, Father Jim, you got some facial hair. Boy, I was in trouble. Let me tell you something about temple cleaning. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, I know it might sound a little humorous, but I'm trying to stir up your demons. Don't you want to be free today?
Amen.
Okay, well, I want to get free, too. I want to get some more freedom. I tell you what, I'm not the same person I was a year ago. God did a work in me about a year ago, and he did it for a whole year, and then I found out from Brother Bijou to send me all the way to my knees that God said, are you going to do some more? I said, oh, no, I don't want to go through this again. And you should have heard me talking to Brother Ben last night. Brother Ben, I don't want to go through it again, but I got to obey God. But I tell you what, y'all don't understand about this refining. But I tell you what, God knows what's best. In Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 12, the scripture says, and Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple. And overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold the poor man's offering, the doves. I'm going to tell you something. You get to thinking about those money changers. It gives me the impression that they probably had the lust of money is the root of all evil. It's a possibility that some of these big things that's going on right now, $100 prayer lines and send your money to me and all this seed faith and all this kind of junk that's going on out there. Is it a possibility that some of that stuff that's going on out there has got a spirit of root of all evil in the camp? That's a dangerous spirit. That's a dangerous spirit. I give because God gave to me. When God instructed his people to build me a tabernacle, he said, build me a tabernacle. He gave Moses instructions to tell the people to bring. Where did they get all the gold and silver from? And the brass and all the material they had for the building of the tabernacle. They got it from coming out of Egypt. God, that's the first message I believe the tabernacle could teach us, that God gave to his people so his people could give back to him. God has given you to give. Ain't nobody here begging. Some of y'all probably don't know this, but there's a song way back in 20 years ago before I was saved. It's called Begging Barry White. And he begged. Well, ain't nobody begging for nothing. Y'all know what needs to be done. You see why you see what's going on. Well, you know what's necessary. I reach down there and give it up. Okay, I'm not one of those. Hey, I believe if you give. I'm not one of those that have that kind of theology where you give money, you get money. I tell you what, I thank God for my grandchild. I lost one. I told the devil he'd never take another one. Well, by the time I got to the hospital, they had tubes all the way down the baby. My wife grabbed the baby, and she said, "Oh, God." I said, "Okay, he's dead." Okay, I know you sound kind of cold, but I'm trying to get you to see something here. All right. If you're going to raise the dead, raise the dead. Okay, but if you get in agreement with the hospital, you're in agreement with the hospital. But I told the devil he'll never take another one. Then my second grandchild came, the devil tried to kill him. My daughter brought the baby was laid out. I said, "Come on, bring him in here. We're going to pray." That's a healthy little 9-year-old boy. The first baby was a dwarf. My second baby was a dwarf. Now he just spread out. My younger brother was a dwarf. Y'all better get them Hansel Gretel books out of your house. I see a friend had a Hansel Gretel book. Couldn't even read. Stopped reading. Thought his daddy was going to take him out and kill him. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Big orgy. Everybody go and follow behind Snow White. Okay, y'all think I'm playing. Y'all got all this junk in the house. And all these sexual spirits are jumping on your children. You don't know why. I know we can cross over here a lot over the bridge from Louisville to Indiana real quick, but I'm telling you something here. There's a lot of stuff inside our house, and we think that we're okay. I know everybody here knows about the poker man, so we won't even call, deal with him. But I'm saying there's some basic old stuff that we keep it around the house. Some of us have collected items. I've seen people, even in deliveries, have musical albums and just all kind of hoarding things, just hoarding stuff. Some people just hoard stuff. Get rid of the junk. Get all that stuff out of the closet, because I guarantee, like I think Sister was saying, or maybe the elder was saying, those idols, those images, those things that you have in there are a great catalyst for the seduction of evil spirits to come into your home and into your house. People, they're there. Just because they don't say anything, because they don't reveal themselves, don't mean they're not there. They're there. We see here in the scriptures, "And it said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now, after the Lord had dispersed of these individuals, asked them to leave or commanded them out, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Let me tell you something, people. I believe that's a spiritual parallel here. Yeah. Unless we bind the spirit of infirmity and cast it out, there would generally be no healing. Now, God can heal sovereignly. We need to think about something here. God got out the root of evil, the money changers, those that stole the poor man's offerings. God got out the enemy out of the camp, and as Jesus begins to come into the camp, then those that were sick and those that were afflicted came in to be ministered to. How many places today are not ministering to those that are sick and afflicted because there's so much commercialism in the church? So much commerce in the church. Everything is so organized. Let me tell you something. When Jesus comes into your life, the enemy should begin to leave. And if he's not beginning to leave, you got a problem. And because you have been saved and God has filled you with His Spirit, God has saved you from your sins, now all of a sudden you're starting to get manifestations. How fortunate are you? I'll take it anytime I can get it. I don't want him in my camp. I want him out of me. You may not be one of those like that, but I want the devil out of me. So I don't care if I get a manifestation. Give me a manifestation, Lord. Get him out. Now, if you're walking in with the Lord, then he may protect you, but from embarrassing manifestations, but not always. I've seen a lot. We were here, I think, 5 years ago, and a couple came, and they were kind of different there. And I was just kind of watching and praying. I realized people like to want to hang out with us sometimes like that. But we was at the restaurant. And while we was at the restaurant, this person said, "I've been praying for several times for this problem. And I know I have an octopus spirit. I can see him in my mind." I said, "Yeah, you got an octopus spirit. It's called mind control. You know about that?" I said, "Well, yeah." As soon as I said, that demon manifested big as day. We sitting out here, Red Lobster, and she goes, "Ah!" Oh, man. I say, "I just thought coming to the camp, Brother Glenn, going to get rid of me. They going to run me away from here. They think I'm out here doing deliveries off the base." I say, "Lord, I know. Lord, I've done everything I could to let them see I'm just off for real. I wasn't thinking about ever teaching here." No, that was never my experience. It still ain't my experience. But I say, "Oh, gosh, you're going to mess up everything." I say, "You demon, you go back down right now. I'll bind you, bind you, bind you." I'm going to tell you something, people. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, I've seen it all. Not all of it yet, but I've seen it. Many of God's people have found compromise in doing deliverance, too. They got a better way. Oh, yeah, they got a better way. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no better way. There ain't but one way. Jesus is the way. That's the only way. Don't let anybody creep you up on that. Stay open to the truth of the gospel. In Revelation 22, our overseer mentioned about that earlier, about adding to the word and taking away from the word. In Revelation 22, the 16th verse, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. As Glenn mentioned earlier, I also agree. Many, many, many have taken away deliverance and have substituted their traditions. They're taking it out. They don't even want to focus on it. I don't care if we're getting results. If you get results, go to the crusade. And when you come back here, you belong to me. And that's manipulation. That's manipulation. That's a substitution. That's another gospel. On the other hand, we have some that are just ignorant, just hadn't arrived yet, still growing. So I don't want you to turn bitter, okay? Because I have to walk with fellow brothers and sisters at different degrees of light, and they just hadn't had the experiences I've had, right? So please don't get bitter, because that's a hard one to get out. You go out there, then you get free, and you come. I'm going to tell you what a young man told me. He said, Brother Landry, God is using me right now. I thank you for praying for me over at so-and-so church, but I had to leave there. I said, oh, really? Well, where you at now? Well, right now, God ain't showing me where to go. I said, okay. So I kept talking. I went out there, kept on cutting the yard at the church ground. He come back the next couple of days. He said, Brother Landry, I so appreciate all the help. Would you pray for me about karate spirits? I said, well, come on, let's go in the building. So we sat down, I cast out a few karate spirits like that. About a week later, I'm out there working in the yard or somewhere around assembly. I spent a lot of time around assembly at that time. And he come back, and he said, Brother Landry, I found another church. I said, don't say that. The Lord told me exactly where he went. Where he joined and everything, you know. Yeah, God do that sometimes. Not often, believe me. And I want you to think, you know, I'm that kind of person, because I'm pressing every day to try to get to hear from God as often as I can. Anyway, what would you do if God told you you could talk to him? You'd probably ask him a whole lot of stuff? Mm-hmm. I'd say, hey, I'm listening. Just you talk. You got 8 minutes? Give it all. But anyway, so he don't talk to me, but I know what 8 minutes would do. It'd be a revival. So the Lord showed me that this man had drawn an apostolic church in the north end or west end of Bowman, 7 miles away. I had been there, so that's why he probably was easy to let me know. And I say, oh, okay, because I was once there, right? And so I said, don't say. He was saying, brother, I didn't join this church. I said, no, don't say. And I looked at him, I said, brother, I wish you would have said that. The Lord had a word for you. Uh-oh. And I said, now I'm going to tell you. And I went on and told him what he had done wrong. Now, what he had done, he had then separated himself from the traditions. He had heard the message of deliverance. He realized it was okay. So he wanted to get away from the Christmas parties and the Easter parties. So he went too far left.
That's right.
We can go too far left. It's a balancing thing. Man, this is fun. This is fun. Do you understand? I might have been a little deliberate in some of my statements about some of the traditional, but I want you to understand, they're Baptists, Methodists, and many other groups that are practicing ministry and full gospel, prayer, and deliverance. Don't think I'm ignorant of that. I'm not. I told you I'm working with these people. Not just people I know all over the world. The word of God is going forward.
Amen.
It's going forward. So don't think that when I say that, I'm speaking in a general sense based on the population. Okay? But there's a few of them out there that are seeking God's truth, that are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. Amen?
Yeah.
People, what do you think, what's the name of the spirit you think is being released, or one of the names of the spirits that's being released when we deny deliverance? When we deny or reject deliverance from Jesus Christ? Well, I think it's a Barabbas spirit. In Mark, the 15th chapter, I think one of the spirits that's being released is the spirit of Barabbas. In Mark, the 15th chapter, verse 6, it says, now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. So if you don't want deliverance, but then look at what Pilate did here in verse 15. And so Pilate, willing to be content with the people, He released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Well, people, I believe right now that a lot of Barabbas spirits are being released. And so when Glenn came up and spoke earlier, and I'm speaking, Brother Glenn, excuse me, Brother Glenn came up here and spoke earlier, and I'm speaking to you right now. We're asking you today, this evening, what would you have us released to you?
Yeah.
You know, I think when we choose to keep our demons, we definitely release the Barabbas spirits inside of ourselves.
Right.
We have substituted the Son of God for a murderer.
Come on.
That devil is a murderer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's how you ought to feel. You ought to have an attitude. I got an attitude. Even though everything looks pretty good and everything feels pretty good, everything seems to be working in order, I know he's there. Oh, yeah. I got my guards up all the time. If I mess up, pride, whatever, rejection, or say something, or didn't give you enough attention, I'm conscious of that because the Holy Spirit is working with my conscience. Because I want to be helped. Because I am willing to go say I'm sorry. I'm willing to go say I made a mistake. I said something I didn't mean. I meant it. But God showed me it was wrong. So we always want to polish things up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We came out of here, I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm going to tell you something, people. God is calling us to a greater works ministry. Jesus said in John, the 14th chapter, verse 12, that he had a greater works ministry for us, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. There are the diversity of gifts here tonight, diversity of ministries. There are diversity of gifts throughout this country and throughout the world right now. There are many, many types of works that are going forward that is profitable and good for the kingdom. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you try to change the way God say deliverance, do deliverance, I think before you can get into your great revelations, your great mysticism, intellectual perspective on how to deliver, God has showed us a new way. I think you ought to be doing it the very same way first. And if you can't do it the very same way, I question your new theology. I question your new doctrine. Oh, well, who you want now, Jesus or Barabbas? Okay, I question it. I think you ought to at least sit back and say, if God is for me, who can be against me? So God, hey, wait a minute. I need to learn, first of all, how to do it nuts and vocals. I mean, what's the term? What ties it the road, as they say. I want to learn it the way Jesus did. And if Jesus want to add to that and perfect on that, so be it. But if you're content right now with your new way and you don't even know how to do it Jesus' way, I got a question with you. I got a question with your doctrine. I know we got all kinds of people in here with all kinds of things. I've learned it over the years. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I've studied a lot of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. God loves you where you are. And you know what else? I do too. But I'm thinking that you're going to think about what I just said. Before you think you come up with a new great revelation, you better be doing the very same works that Jesus did. You have a choice to make tonight. You can join the team or you can go into flight. You can stay or you can run. I remember an individual that came that had this unusual spirit, this manifestation. I'm going to tell you something. God's got to give you discernment. I'm going to tell you something. God's been working with me with discernment for probably over 10 years. Some of you think you just get baptized in discernment. I'm going to tell you something. God works with us day by day by the experiences that we receive from him. And I remember sitting down, and this person was manifesting, looking at me, and the eyes just rolling like this and rolling like this. And the Lord said, that's a 5-year-old baby. And this was a 40-some-year-old female. Matter of fact, she got delivered, moved to California, came back about 5 years ago, came back 5 years later, which was about 3 months ago. She said, Bro Leonard, I've been living in Houston. I want to come by and shake your hand. She got in her car and drove back. Just came all the way to Bowman to shake my hand, thanking us, wanted to thank us. So the demon was manifesting, rolled his eye like that. The Lord said, that's a 5-year-old baby. I say, who are you? No. God told me to say, how old? I say, how old are you? That demon said, I'm 5. Everybody else, I remember in the old days when we first started out with the blessed oil, crossing the hot hope to die. Seven drops of blessed oil and all that kind of stuff. Lust, it's lust. It's got to be lust. Lust for the preacher. Lust for, lust. It's everything lust. That was a little 5-year-old girl. That time manifested. That's when she got sexually abused. I'm going to tell you something. I had an individual sitting right on the front row, and the devil was choking him. And I looked at him like this, and I said, I tell you what, go ahead and kill him, because after you kill him, I'm going to raise the dead anyway.
Amen. Amen.
And you people, they spoke about this earlier. All these Ouija boards and stuff like that. He said, oh, I don't have to worry about that. Oh, okay, we got children. Hey, My son, I thank God for my son. He would submit. He would submit. He didn't know what he would do. A lot of things. I'd preach it, but, you know, he'd go right over the head. You know? And I'd find decks of cards. I'd show him where the deck of cards came from. This king made these decks, made Jesus the joker. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I know what you mean. We just go play a little pity pack. We're going to play it on Jesus time, right? Yeah, he's the joker. But anyway, no, he's not the joker. But I want y'all to know, you can go do a little study on a deck of cards. But anyway, we had an individual, a lady was about to, a young girl was dying. Room stank. Anybody been around people like that where you're praying for them and the room just had that odor of stank and death? And it was discovered a couple of weeks later inside the shelving, a Ouija board from a neighbor had came over, played, and conveniently left it in their home. So it don't hurt for you to do a spring cleaning on your home. Don't just think you're so righteous and holding it out, okay? A dog can bring something over from next door. A dog can bring a voodoo doll. Some of you'll never get out of your yard, you know. Just pay the man to cut it. But anyway, I'm telling you.
Come on, brother.
God will give you victories, but he's going to give you some victories, but you're going to be some defeats. I had a young man, I've told you once before, he had a congenital birth defect, and his hand was like this, and the Lord showed him what to do, and I prayed, I had the elders there, and we told him to stretch out his hand, and the hand came out there, and the guy took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on me. It's a difference in the spirit. You know, I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at the Lord. Okay, and when he took his eyes off the spirit and put his eyes on me, his hand went back, and the demon looked at me and said, as long as I got this, I got him. Oh, man, this is some serious business we're dealing with here. We got to prepare the people to receive, too. That's word, that's study, that's fellowship, that's prayer, that's fasting. That's a whole lot of tools that God has made available to us. Are you using any of them? I'm going to tell you something. There are people that will come for help, and they'll be genuine. They'll be sincere. Brother Landon, if you'll help me, I want to get delivered. I love the Lord, and I got these problems with tobacco. No, excuse me, with alcohol. We said, okay, let's deal with alcohol. Let's deal with Indian spirits. Let's deal with generational curses, you know, and let's deal with all of that. And then after we finish, they go outside and fire up a cigarette. Well, okay. Let me tell you something, people. God wants us restored. He wants to restore his people. He loves every one of us without question. And he's going to take these experiences that you're going through right now. You're getting help. God loves you. Without question, I know he loves you. It's the devil that's placing that element of doubt upon you. It is the devil that is trying to get you to walk in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will cut you off from receiving God. Without question, unforgiveness will hinder you from receiving your blessings. There's two things that I've seen over the years and studied that stands in the way of us receiving our blessings. That's one is unforgiveness and the occult. And I dare say that most of us have, at some point in time, dabbled in the occult, whether we were just watching a movie on TV dealing with a seance. Very few of us have escaped it. And speaking of the tattoos, earlier we talked about tattoos. I went after individuals with tattoos. When I go after the tattoo spirits, I've seen them rise up, they have rised up on the people's, whatever the tattoos were, and they can feel it like a bunch of pins sticking in there, and those spirits start coming out. Now, and I don't know, Sister Coffey, what can be done. Some people have had the corrective surgery. I've heard of miracles where God has completely removed them. Some of them God wants to use as the testimony, I'm free. Okay, you know, so, you know, whatever, how the Lord want to work that out, as long as that person is dead to that, okay, and that ought to be part of their testimony, especially if it's so visible, you know. But I'm going to tell you something, people. The occult is the unseen world, and it's a dangerous area, and most of our families in some way or ourselves have been involved in the occult. We must be free from it. Karate, the meditation, I was in the martial arts. I was very unfaithful. I was very unfaithful in a lot of things, even as a Catholic. But anyway, I was a pretty unfaithful guy. But I had all the moves, you know, hallelujah, karate, you know, couldn't do nothing. Like biggest coward on the street. But anyway, somebody just raised their hand. Oh! But all of the meditations and things they had us trying to do and all of the other things, there's so much that we have been introduced to through TV, through magazines, through the Enquirer magazines, and the occult area just covers so much, and horoscopes, biorhythms, and just one thing after another. And most of you, you're not ignorant. You're here just because this is a training camp. This is a grounds for us to get restored, to be ministered to so we can go out and help other people. So you're not ignorant of it. And there's plenty of books here that discuss this issue of the occult. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have some extra work that's going on in your life right now, some extra activities, that you're trying to mingle with the gospel, like crystals and your special potions that you're working with, you know, your golly balls you go to bed with around your waist, it's not going to work. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I eat a lot of golly to keep the demons out.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.